Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Fourth and final hour. Darren, Donick, and Chase here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Hope everybody's having a good Monday to this point. Always enjoy our conversations with our next guest, Tom Hart. SEC Network, XFL, ESPN, he does it all, and he's on the line with us. Tom, how you doing?
What's up, gang? I'm great. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, I got to be honest, last week we were absolutely cackling at what happened. I happened to be watching the game live, but when you and Andy Kennedy were doing that game, I mean, your response was just fantastic. I mean, you lost it, and that was natural. That was very organic, because I would have done the same thing in that moment.
Who mixes up Ron Burgundy and Ron Jones? How does that happen?
Andy Kennedy, apparently.
Andy Kennedy does. That's right. We had such a laugh over the whole thing. We're out for pops afterwards. We're kind of walking through it, debriefing. And AK looks at me and he goes, "You think any of his friends texted Ron Jeremy and said, 'Hey, man, you're trending'?" Like, what's 67-year-old Ron Jeremy doing on a Tuesday afternoon on the West Coast? You know, he's just chilling in his house, and all of a sudden his phone starts blowing up. Some former SEC basketball coach mentioned you during a game. That gave us a really big laugh.
What is it like, Tom? Because you have to finish out your job. You guys have a game to complete, and yet you know around you right now if something is going viral or, like you said, trending, and it's blowing up like on social media. What is that like? Because you can't really consume it with the rest of us, even though you just lived it out. But there's this whole other branch of stuff going on behind the scenes that you have to wait till later that night to see. What's that like going through that?
Well, you know, even if it wasn't trending, we would have laughed about it. Because what happens once you go down that road, and I'm sure this has happened to you guys at some point, is in every comment that you make that could be a double entendre that you didn't even intend, like, then we're looking at each other, and Twitter is reacting too. Oh, my God, they just said take it hard to the hole. These guys are killing me. Well, no, we didn't mean anything besides basketball. They've got to take it hard to the hole. But because everybody's mind is already in the gutter, then it's just this snowball effect. And there were numerous comments that both of us made throughout the remainder of the game where we'd shoot a glance at the other guy like, did you do that on purpose? Are we talking about Mason Jones' spurtability because of basketball or some other reason? What are we talking about here?
Oh, man, that's funny. I know we're going to get into the XFL product that was on display this weekend in just a moment, but you've had a chance to look at the league, the SEC, as a whole, as we sit here in February, approaching the midway point of February, so it's getting deeper into the season. What are you seeing? I mean, that was quite a win for Kentucky and Knoxville. They're doing what they always do. They're getting better with every game, every month. The league is obviously down from last year, but what have you seen to this point?
Well, the league may be down as a whole from a national perspective right now, but I think there are, you know, I like to think of it in terms of teams that can make it to the Final Four versus winning a national championship. I think a lot of times a national championship is luck at the end of this long tournament. Not that teams aren't deserving. I think you know what I'm saying. Like, great teams reach the Final Four, and then who gets bounces, who gets whistles, that kind of thing, with a small sample size of two games to go. But if you look at it from that perspective, I think the SEC still has, I mean, they've got as many Final Four contenders as the Big Ten, and the Big Ten is widely thought to be the best conference right now because they have so much depth and certainly more national championship contenders than the ACC has right now, which I think is or similar numbers. Let's just say similar, not necessarily more. But Kentucky, Auburn, LSU, and Mississippi State, to me, have the talent to make it to the Final Four. I think Mississippi State has all the pieces, and they're better than their overall record indicates to this point. I like LSU because they have guys, maybe the last two games notwithstanding, they have dudes that make plays at the end of the game, at the end of the clock. they play with fire a little bit because I think they play to the level of their competition, and obviously that's both good and bad. But when you do that, you're in a lot of close games, and they could go either way, and they win more of those than they lose. Auburn's reinvented themselves. You know, they're not as reliant on the three, obviously, as they were last year, and they made the most threes in SEC history and the second most in NCAA history. But they are now getting players, whether it's Samir Dowdy or Javon McCormick. Bruce Pearl had to wait for those guys to come around and be similar to the LSU players. Like, I want the ball in my hands at the end of the clock. I can go get a bucket. Like, to be the reliable, get-the-bucket dude at the end of the clock. And Kentucky, you summarize them well. I mean, this is the time of year. Every year they get better. The big difference is they've never had a junior lead them in scoring under John Calipari. And so what Nick Richards has done in terms of elevating his game year to year and then break it down further month to month has been really impressive. And I've said this before, I think the coaching staff deserves kudos for allowing him to grow. I mean, that is a very demanding coaching staff, starting with Cal. And it's not uncommon for somebody to get in the doghouse and not find their way out because they don't take advantage of the small opportunities that they have. They didn't do that with Nick Richards. They didn't bury him. They believed in his ability. They just had to wait for him to come around and show the motor that he needed to be an elite player, and he's there.
Interesting that you brought up Mississippi State in that grouping. Vanderbilt lost in Starkville on Saturday, but that you've gotten a better look at them. How about Arkansas? You didn't bring them up. What do you make of them?
Well, they're really hurt by injuries right now. Mm-hmm. They just don't have the depth that they need. I don't know how soon Isaiah Joe is going to be back. He had a knee procedure last Monday or Tuesday. I forget which date it was. He's an NBA prospect. He spreads the floor with his shooting ability. He's on the Jerry West Award watch list as one of the finalists for one of the best shooting guards in the country. Excuse me. Without him, they really become two-dimensional. And Mason Jones is fantastic, and he's my short list for SEC Player of the Year. He had three straight 30-plus point games. He had 40 in the game the other night. He gets to the foul line. He can pass over guys. He's a little bit out of position as a point forward almost, but he just doesn't have enough around him, and they are an inverted offensive team. Jimmy Witt at 6'3", a lot of times plays the post, and that can be good at times, but you get exposed, when you play against bigger teams. And so they've gotten to be very one-dimensional without Isaiah Joe. That's a tough schedule now going forward with them. Tennessee, Mississippi State, Florida. They just lost to Missouri, have them again. They still have LSU and Georgia down the road. I think they're an NCAA tournament team before Joe got hurt. I just don't know if they can find enough wins to stay a tournament team, especially considering they're coming off back-to-back losses in overtime.
We're talking to Tom Hart of ESPN, the SEC Network. You can see him football, basketball, and also the XFL, which made its debut over the weekend. And I was watching pretty much all weekend long, and I really like the product. I like the presentation that you guys had. I know you had a fun game between St. Louis and Dallas, but what was it that really stood out to you with the first weekend?
Well, a handful of things. I think the rules changes take some getting used to. They're certainly jarring when you see them for the first time. You know, when you see a team come out for a kickoff and they're lined up differently than they ever have. But that's by design, and it's by design to get better, not just better returns, but more returns. Last year in the NFL, there were over 2,600 kickoffs, and they had almost 1,600 touchbacks. So 61% chance of nothing happening on a kickoff in the NFL. That was turned upside down in the XFL this weekend. There were touchbacks only 6 of the 35 kickoffs in week one. And one of those came at the beginning of our game. They actually moved the kickoff line in the game. And this is Oliver Luck has the right to do this. If there is a lot of wind, they want as many returns as they can get. So if there's a lot of wind in the game, they can move the kickoff line by 5 yards. They can make that determination inside 90 minutes before game time. They don't want touchbacks. They don't want kicks going out of bounds, major penalties on major touchbacks for those. So they want returns, and they found a way, they think, to make it safer by moving the coverage team all the way up to the 30-yard line. The 35, and the return team at the 30. So that's fascinating. We had Troy Aikman at our game, and he was talking with Pat McAfee on the sideline, and he had been watching. And, you know, here's not only a Hall of Famer, but a guy who's called Super Bowls for Fox. And obviously, you know, we all see him every Sunday. And he was intrigued by the rules and can anticipate the NFL maybe adopting some of these and some of the access. And a lot of the positive feedback I get and have gotten is from fans that love eavesdropping on the instant replay booth and the communication between the replay coordinator and the white hat on the field. And I think it does two things. It helps us understand how the decision-making process is communicated, how they make decisions, quite frankly, just succinctly. And more importantly, listen, we all live in the SEC. We know we're passionate about the NFL. Every time there's a flag against your team, we all think there's this huge conspiracy. It's not the case. And when the officials are transparent with fans and viewers, then you understand, oh, wait, these are just guys doing their jobs. They're not out to screw me or screw my team.
I know that you do a lot of prep, obviously, when you're getting ready for a game. Play-by-play is not easy. How much did it change for you knowing that there were going to be so many elements that were mic'd up, like you mentioned, the replay booth and the players on the field?
Well, it made it a lot easier in some ways, because that's a lot less time that we have or need to storytell or set up certain players or coaches because they're doing it themselves. The challenge was, and both staffs were great with us. I think you see, if you don't know Hal Mumme, watching him and hearing him, Mike, you get a sense of his personality. No secrets with that guy. You know, I mean, he's sipping bourbon in the hot tub with the players, dreaming up new plays. He comes on the field for, you know, walkthrough with, you know, flip-flops on and a towel around his neck. He's a pretty chill guy. If you want to learn about the air raid, just call him up. He'll teach you about it. But learning the language that they use, and everybody's different, so we can identify their play calls and help the audience know what's coming, or at least a segment of what might be coming. And just a quick example, Chuck Long, the offensive coordinator at St. Louis, said, yeah, anytime you hear Iowa, that's our call for inside zone. Okay, now we know where the ball's going, you know, and we can still do a better job of teaching viewers what those play calls mean. And you know, I'm sure there's a lot of people out there that don't know what inside zone means. So we can go deeper in that regard. But the prep takes on a different level because it becomes a lot more technical. So then we can translate that for the audience.
Is McAfee all right? I thought he was going to lose his mind in your all's game.
Well,
yeah, hey, don't ever cause a touchback in front of a punter when it should be.
Man, that was some high drama. I like that. I was wondering if you guys at some point this season are going to have him jump off a houseboat. You think you can work that in?
yeah, but we just need to bring a houseboat to a game. I'm sure he'd be willing to do it.
I bet he would.
There's no doubt about it.
Tom, appreciate the visit as always. Thanks for doing this, and enjoy your work.
I appreciate it, guys. Thanks for having me.
All right, that is Tom Hart, SEC Network, ESPN, and now part of the XFL broadcast team. Remember, XFL being aired on ABC, ESPN, and the Fox channels. That is probably one of the biggest differences you'll notice with these startup leagues, is you don't have to really search high and low to find their games. It's a little bit more prevalent. Those channels, it's not on, you know, true crime TV,
MTV. The NFL Network, CBS Sports Network. I mean, it was all over the place with the AAF.
It's not on the Travel Channel, which I watch, but they do a lot of ghost programming on the Travel Channel. All right, we'll come back. More of Darren, Donnick, and Chase on the other side, ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.